Yesterday was the 12th day after Christmas, which is when the church celebrates what is called Epiphany. For Christians, Epiphany marks the end of the Christmas season. And beginning in about the 4th century, Christians would celebrate Christmas beginning on Christmas Day and continuing the 12 days straight, ending with Epiphany. And no, I won't sing the 12 days of Christmas this morning. At Epiphany, we remember the Magi's visit to the infant Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. The word Epiphany comes from the Greek and means to show, which at Epiphany calls us to remember Jesus revealed in the world. The opening of the Gospel of John explains that what was coming into the world was the Word, and this Word was the light of all people. This Word, this light, was in the beginning with God, and through him all things came into being. So as we celebrate Jesus, the light of the world revealed to the world, we turn to the very beginning where the light was already present and a part of God's creative power. It seems appropriate on the first Sunday of a new year to start at the very beginning, especially since, according to Maria from Sound of Music, it's a very good place to start, right? With the Gospel of John still ringing in our ears, we turn to the very beginning where the light of the world, the Word of God himself, was already there. And interestingly enough, the first words spoken in Scripture are God saying, "Let there be light." It's easy to remember some of the last words of famous people and characters. Since the new Star Wars movie just came out, I can't help but think about Obi-Wan Kenobi and his last words to Darth Vader in A New Hope. "You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you could possibly imagine." And in Romeo and Juliet, Romeo takes poison when he thinks Juliet is dead. His last words are, "And thus with a kiss, I die." In Citizen Kane, it's Rosebud, right? Movies, books, and TV shows all try for that epic last word because it's often what stays in our memory. But what about first words? We can probably all recall Neil Armstrong's first words on the moon. "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." The first words of a child are celebrated with joy and anticipation. The first words spoken that ended the era of silent movies in 1927 was Al Jolson's clever line in The Jazz Singer, "Wait a minute, you ain't heard nothing yet." First words tend to be less familiar and memorable, even though no less significant. "Let there be light." The first words spoken in all of Scripture, and in them a signifier that something new is about to start. Out of chaos and void comes light, comes day and night, comes the first day of creation. When God speaks, it is always an incarnational word, meaning it has the power to create, to speak into being, and to make something out of nothing. Frederick Buchner reminds us, to make suggests making something out of something else, but to create suggests making something out of nothing, the way someone makes paintings or poems. To create is to make something essentially new. We read the beginning of creation at the turn of a new year because for many it is an invitation to try again, to be a part of a new creation, to renew hope that things can be better. With the sounds of angels singing and prophets proclaiming still echoing in our memories, we are reminded that God again is doing something new in our world, that God continues to speak light into our darkness. Many, during this time of year, make New Year's resolutions. hoping it will guarantee success in the new year. Howard Truman once said, "The new year means a fresh start, a second wind, another chance, a kind of reprieve, a divine act of grace bestowed. If we have made serious blunders, they are made. All our tears cannot unmake them. We may learn from them and carry our hard-won lessons into the new year. We can remember them, not with pain, but with gratitude that in our new wisdom we can live into the present year with deeper understanding and greater humanity." The first words spoken in creation are words for us too as we begin a new year. Paul calls the Thessalonians to be children of light. Just like God saw that light was good, we are called to live into God's goodness. 1 John 1:5-7 reads, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not know what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." As the light was spoken into being on the first day of creation, so God brings forth the light of the world in Jesus Christ. The Magi follow the light in the sky that leads them to the light of the world, and this is the light that is now inside of each of us. We are called to be people who examine the light and the darkness in our own lives, to confess where we have been hiding in darkness, avoiding the light of God's goodness. The dark and chaotic world needs children of light who, in similar manner, can take on the creative power of God's first word saying, "Let there be light." What will our first words for the new year be as a church, as a people of light? I want to close this morning with a poem written by Anne Seams called Boxed, as we turn the page on Christmas and look ahead to the new year. Here is what she writes. "I must admit to a certain guilt about stuffing the Holy Family into a box in the aftermath of Christmas. It's frankly a time of personal triumph when each Advent's Eve I free them and the others from a year's imprisonment boxed in the dark of our basement. Out they come one by one, struggling through the straw, last year's tinsel still clinging to their robes. Nevertheless, they appear ready to take their place again in the light of another Christmas. The child is first because he's the one I'm most reluctant to box. Attached forever to his cradle, he emerges, apparently unscathed from the time spent upside down to avoid the crush of the lid. His mother, dressed eternally in blue, still gazes adoringly in spite of the fact that her features are somewhat smudged. Joseph has stood for 11 months holding valiantly to what's left of his staff, broken 20 Christmases ago by a child who hugged him a little too tightly. The wise ones still travel, though not quite as elegantly. The standing camel having lost its back leg and the sitting camel having lost one ear. However, gifts intact, they are ready to move. The shepherds, walking or kneeling, sometimes confused with Joseph, who wears the same dull brown, tumble forth, followed by three sheep in very bad repair. There they are again, not a grand set, surely, but one the children and now the grandchildren can touch and move and reenact that silent night. When the others return, we will wind the box on the back of the stable and light the Advent candles and go once more to Bethlehem. And this year, when it's time to pack the figures away, we'll be more careful that the peace and goodwill are not also boxed for another year." The first words spoken by God will also one day be God's last words at the end of all created things. For God says there will be a time where there will be no more night. The Lord God will be our very light. So even as we put away the Christmas decorations, as we turn the page on the calendar into a new year, don't put away the light of the world. Don't put away the peace and goodwill that the angels sing. Don't box away Emmanuel, God with us, for another year. Like the Magi, may the light of the world draw you ever nearer. For God is saying to us at the beginning of this new year, on this Epiphany, let there be light.